Welcome to Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunanada. I'm your host, Eric Reddix. Our guest today is Larry Amick Smallwood, who grew up in Ajimud, the Lake Lena district of Mille Lacs. He has worked as a language instructor for the Minneapolis Public Schools, Neosheng School, the Leech Lake Tribal College, and the University of Minnesota Duluth. Since 1999, he has served as the Director of Language and Culture for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. So it's the time of year when Ojibwes would historically, and today too, also tap maple trees for maple sugar. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, your experience with that, some teachings that you heard growing up about that.
Yeah, you know, as a kid, a little kid, I first remember going out to the sugar bush with my folks. They would go out there and clear the snow away. It was probably mid to the latter part of March. They would start probably mid-March, and we would get ready. They would haul the cans out there, and they would haul the kettle out there and the big pails, and the old man would make his fire area with his kettle racks. And they always had a couple of taps set in probably in early March, and they kept an eye on them when they would start running, and then they'd go out and tap the rest of them. I remember they used to have an old-fashioned auger, hand auger that they used to drill, and they used the sumac spigots. They would cut them and then they'd drive them into the trees. And I remember them doing that, and then of course when I got old enough to carry a pail big enough, then I would be the one to go out and gather the water. And so it was fun doing that, and once all the water was gathered, then I just watched them boil. And man, sometimes they'd boil from early in the morning, they'd get the water ready. And right behind the kettles there, they would have a couple of hot pails with hot sugar water in there. And they would boil all day and all afternoon, you know, until the evening when it was just right. And sometimes they would boil it extra longer to make the sugar and also the hard candy. So it was the same thing again the next morning, man, go out there and get that water, because that water in the trees, it runs all night and runs constantly 24/7. I mean, they don't turn off at 4:30 or 5 in the evening and turn on again at 8 in the morning. So, you know, all night, those taps would be in there. And we used to do that. And then I helped them till I was about 15, and that's when I left home. But we started doing that out at the culture grounds in Mille Lacs here. And we had some groups from Minneapolis come up, and they stayed out there at the sugar bush. And they got quite a bit of syrup, quite a bit of candy, really tasting good. So.
And this is something you're talking about that happened more recent when you were out at the Mille Lacs
Just right now. As a matter of fact, I had them pull the plug, I pulled the taps out on Friday because it wasn't running very good anymore. Who's to say it's not going to run later? But, you know, I used to listen to the old man. He'd say, "Well, when you hear the first frogs,
yeah,
it's time to give it up."
Huh.
So I haven't heard any frogs yet, but a couple of days I swore, you know, they could have been.
Yeah. No, I heard some down by Hayward this weekend.
Frogs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then pretty much means it's over then.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what they went by. You know, they didn't go by any clocks or any.
Huh.
Calendar or dates or anything like that.
Huh.
But, you know, we had some people come up and they've never done it before. And I haven't done it for many, many years. But this person knew a little bit about it. I knew about it, you know, so putting everybody's heads together, they did it and they were successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have syrup for the year and candy and it's all good.
Yep. And we should say, too, that, you know, talking about, you know, this year that we were way ahead of schedule.
Right.
As far as when it typically happens,
which
I found to be kind of nice because I remember last year, you know, there was 4 feet of snow and we started putting the taps in. And it was a kind of a miserable experience trying to go out there. And, you know, I had a student group out and they were falling in the snow and whatnot. But this year was kind of the opposite where you just trot right up to the tree.
Right.
You know, you could just get around so much easier. So.
Yeah, I know we have a river running through our property and for some reason, I don't know why, but the maple trees that were closest to the river their water was sweeter than the ones that were higher ground. I don't know if that's just coincidental somehow or if it's naturally sweeter by the river. I don't know. So I'm going to ask somebody that. I'm not an expert, so there's a couple of people that are that I can ask.
Do you think it's kind of similar how, you know, I mean, it's obvious, like with wild rice, how different lakes produce different kind of...
That's what I'm wondering.
Different kind of looks of rice, and maybe it's the same.
River rice is different than lake rice. Muddy bottom lakes are different from sandy bottom lakes, and so on. So I was just thinking about that. But it was sweeter by the river. I don't know if it was just that one day or if it was, you know.
Yeah. And what in your experience do you make of, because I was just doing this just actually prior to coming to the studio, I was dumping the stuff that I just collected yesterday into bigger buckets, and then we're going to boil like either tomorrow or the next day, but well, I guess the next day. But it was cloudier, you know, it was a lot cloudier than the stuff I was dumping for the last boil, which was, like, I collected about a week and a half ago. So I mean, is there something when it's been sitting out a while, or is it just later in the season it takes on a more cloudy kind of, like how you were talking when
you know, I've seen that, but I don't know what it is. I've seen I would just quit. Time to quit.
Yeah, because it definitely was different. So, and then too, likewise, have you seen different kinds of clarity? Like, it doesn't always look the same, right? Because I'll give you an example. Like, my mom unearthed some from, you know, a couple years back, and you know, that stuff was like motor oil compared to the stuff that we were that we finished, you know, this season. And it was back when I was using it. I don't know. It could be the, well, I guess it all came from the same site, but you know, also, you know, talking about different sites, the kind of material you use, like, because back then we had the cast iron kettle. Now we got the stainless steel.
Well, we still have a cast iron kettle.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference I ever notice is the length of time you boil it.
Right.
I know sometimes if you don't boil it long enough, it's pretty thin.
Yep.
And sometimes you boil it a long time, it gets pretty heavy.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Maybe it's our upkeep, too. We're not clean enough.
No. You know, I noticed a lot of people, which is good, they use cans like they did a long time ago. And some of them use plastic bags. Mm-hmm. You know, we were going to do that. I was going to do that this spring here. I was going to get the spigots out and I was telling the people, start gathering up the cans, you know. And somebody said, oh, you're too old school. We got some aluminum taps or some metal taps and some plastic bags and blah, 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 this and that. And I was like, oh, all right. I said, I'll check it out. I'll let you guys do that. You know, I'm too old school, I guess. But otherwise, up until a couple of years ago, and had a gentleman working with us, Dave Matrios, and he always used the Schumach spigots and things like that in cans, you know, so. That's how I grew up with that.
And they're easy enough to make, right? I mean, it's just hollowing out the center and...
Right, and carbon half of it out. Yeah. But everything was put away now here this weekend. And it was all... Kettles were cleaned and spigots were cleaned and ready for next year.
Yep. So going back to when you were younger, you know, you mentioned, you know, doing this activity and... Whereabouts, and you know, I assume did you go all the way to Mille Lacs, or is this just locally in the Ajumu community?
No, this is in Stevens Lake community there, east of Hinckley. So that's part of Mille Lacs. Everybody mentions, right. You know, when Mille Lacs and Mille Lacs, they think it's over by the lake, but no, Mille Lacs is spread out, you know, in a large area.
Oh, so when you're doing it now, it's close to Ajumu then, right?
Well, it's in Rutledge.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
About
40
miles from Ajumu, 40 miles from East Lake, and about 50 miles from Mille Lacs. So.
Okay.
But we're still Mille Lacs. We're still part of Mille Lacs there.
But when you were growing up, was it reservation land, per se, you'd go on? Or did you have, like how did that all work?
Nah, we was on private land. We was on state land. Mm-hmm. And see, people never said anything to us if we're on state land or if we're on their private land, you know.
Yep.
Because people a long time ago were much, much nicer than they are today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I mean, they see us over there, they'd come over, you know, and then I remember the old man used to give them some syrup here, and they'd say, oh, okay, you know, thank you, you know.
Huh.
And we're good about it. And then also, you know, in the state land, there would be making syrup, and back then they had a game warden that'd come around, and he was nice, you know, and he'd come and check things out, and Thank God you don't need a license to tap trees or anything, you know. Not either. I'm surprised they won't come up with it. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything on the radio.
Well, that's, you know, I mean...
Some lawmakers probably listening. Let's see. Let's get a license here. They need a license here.
But, you know, that is one of the things, though, is that, you know, now we have this site right on the UMD campus. But prior to that, I always would go tapping, you know, off reservation, and you have to go to the county... Well, first, you know, we had to go to Barron County, you know, and a couple years back, and go on county land. And there is this kind of thing that, you know, non-Indians, you know, can't do that. And it's only through our treaty rights that we can do that. Then likewise, before that, you know, back in the early 2000s, I was going on kind of closer to LCO on Shawamigan Forest land. And it was the same kind of thing. You know, it's something that's allowed through treaty rights, but it is something where you have to go through these kind of formal process of... You know, they want to know where you're at. They want to know, you know, things like that. So it's interesting to hear you talk about that. Those kind of that things were kind of more informal. And I think a lot of our listeners, when they think of, like, you know, prior to the 60s, they think of, you know, the fact that, you know, game wardens arresting people for fishing or hunting. But, you know, it's something that I don't think people hear a lot about, you know, with maple sugaring, that people were just kind of, for lack of a better term, cool with it, you know, non-Indians.
Right. Oh, people were different a long time ago. Game wardens are different. County sheriffs and deputies, they were all different back then, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on state land, we were on private land, and of course the people that owned the land knew we were coming through there, and they give them some syrup, and they were happy, you know, because you're not really hurting anything. The only thing you're doing is building a fire in about a 6x6 area there, and that's it, and then the holes in the maple trees, and the holes don't kill the maple trees.
Yep.
I mean, and they grow over,
mm-hmm.
so weren't really hurting anything.
Yep. This is Ojibwe Stories, Garanunanada, a program of Ojibwe culture, which is brought to you in part by the College of Education and Human Service Professions at the University of Minnesota Duluth, home of the Nwayung Ojibwe Language Nest. Nwayung is an Ojibwe language immersion preschool program serving children beginning at 33 months up through the first day of kindergarten. All subjects are taught in Ojibwe Mo'en, and children are immersed in Ojibwe culture, language, and history. Nwayung operates Monday through Thursday, September through May. Full and part-time enrollment options are available. More information at 218-726-7547. How did things start off? Like, what were some of the things that back then that people said, oh, we need to get out there? You know, because now I look at my phone and I got the 5-day forecast. I'm like, ooh, it's going to be above freezing over a string of days. But, like, what would people look for back then?
Oh, they had their ways of knowing. I mean, they, you know, nature tells you a lot. Animals tell you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you when it's going to start running, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they could tell by the temperature, too. I mean, you know, they watched and observed what was going on out in the woods.
Hmm.
Some would go and tap a few trees early, you know, and just kind of keep an eye on that.
Yep.
You know, it might be 3-4 days a week, and then pretty soon you go out there and you'll see it running. And say, hey, man, it's time to go. Let's go and tap all the trees. So they would do that. So, but a long time ago, they just knew when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, they studied nature, like I said. Kinagego ge kendano shanabe mimisho pige majata de we skigam is again. Snowy pizendo and the she and nagio ge wabandan, ashigishi got the nick. Me kendamoad na noondogus ned no. Pineshi and bakar name you ge kidora hey, daga. Begin the wish gashua, don't jigawad go and not tiguk.
What about the finished product? Like, what kinds of things would you make? Now, back then, did you necessarily make syrup, or was it all just sugar?
No, it was the majority of it was syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hard candy, you know, the cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then also sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, just like wild rice, it gave some to all the family members, you know, so they could have some. And then... even with the sugar they used year-round, you know. And Boy, if you make tea with maple sugar water out of the tree and make tea, it's naturally sweet. Oh, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you mix a little teaspoon of maple sugar in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's really good. So sometimes, you know, somebody will have a little accent, and we treat that maple syrup with respect, the same as we would wild rice or any, you know, anything like that. If you burn some, if you spill it, if you waste any unintentionally, you know, you got to do a little tobacco ceremony for that.
Hmm.
You know, because it's a gift from the Creator. All things are a gift from the Creator, so we respect that. And so we ask for forgiveness if we ruin some.
Hmm.
We try not to. Of course, you're always going to have a little accident, but somebody might knock over a whole pail of water or syrup or something, then we do a little prayer for that and ask for forgiveness for that.
Hmm.
We didn't mean to waste what the Creator provided with us.
Yeah,
so this year I'm going to have some maple syrup. You know that candy? They give it to little kids. You know how sugar makes kids hyper?
Mm-hmm.
Maple sugar candy, you give them enough, they get sleepy.
Huh.
So they'd give it to them in the evening sometime, you know, and chills them out.
And then, too, I assume when you head out there, like when you were younger, it was the whole family, right? Like everybody kind of had a role, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Families that do that help each other, you know. Mm. Everybody had a role. There were the woodcutters, there were the gatherers of the water, there were the boilers, there were the food makers, or, you know, it was really a lot of fun a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then at the end of the day, when you got to taste some of that syrup or the sugar candy or whatever, man, it was well worth it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And start right in again the next morning. Yeah, people used to help each other too. I mean, you'd have a sugar bush here, and then probably a half mile away someplace, somebody else had a sugar bush, and you'd go over and help them visit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Eat lunch with them, or they'd come over and eat lunch with us or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a lot different a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And how many, like, I mean, I imagine it was a lot, right? Like, how many taps do you think when you were younger, like, if they went out and they were at the sugar bush, like, hundreds probably?
The old man didn't really tap that many, maybe 100 or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, enough to...
Mm-hmm.
Take care of what he had to take care of. I know some people that are talking about setting out 300 taps. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and then you got a whole lot of syrup, and then they sell it. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
We don't really make our syrup to sell. We make it to share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, we got a lot of relatives in the cities and different places, you know, that have to work down there. So we save some for them and give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same as wild raising.
Mm-hmm.
You get enough for your family, and to your family that doesn't live right, that don't live right close to where you're at, and so save some for them.
Mm-hmm.
Giving and sharing, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, too, that it gets kind of better, like early in the season?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. But yeah, it really tastes good. Especially if you make your tea in it or your coffee, mm-hmm. you know, oh man, it's got its own flavor.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's all done for now, and I hope we have another season next year that's good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find some different trees, or you don't want a tree full of holes, you know. Like these trees we tapped this year, they haven't been tapped for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all grown over, and... So we tap them again in a different spot.
Hmm.
Some trees you can hang two or three different spigots out of,
mm-hmm.
you know, 'cause they're big enough. How much syrup did you get this year?
So far we got about 5 gallons or so.
5 gallons of pure syrup.
Huh? Yeah.
That's good. But, you know, every time there's something going on like that, we have to have a ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, when we get our first syrup, you know, we feed other people first that aren't able to go out and do that, and then
mm-hmm.
we're good to go.
Hmm.
Yeah, we have to give thanks for it. Thank the Creator for providing that for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, everything was put away this weekend here, so maybe it's still running out. I don't know. The weather's been so funny.
Yeah.
You know. Like you said, you heard the first frogs already last weekend, so.
Yeah. It's tough around here. I just don't know, like. Well, you know, where I live, it's all, like, kind of swampy and scrubby. It's not like, but yeah, down, you know.
Well, yeah, you're on a reservation.
No, I mean, like, no, where I live down here in the
over here,
in Duluth, or in Superior. No, LCO.
You know, majority of our reservations are in swampland, so.
Yeah. You
know, that's why I said that.
But no, down in LCO, the frogs were going, so. Yeah. And I was kind of surprised. I was out, you know, Saturday night. And, yeah, I was like, oh, man, early April.
So now it's a season to go netting and getting walleye as soon as the lakes open up and the walleye will start to run. So we have to get ready for that now.
Mm-hmm. Now that, I imagine, was trickier for when you were growing up, right? People couldn't, if they did that, it wasn't like a friendly kind of thing with the locals. It was more like, did people kind of have to sneak around if they wanted to do that? Or?
Yeah, a lot of times they would. Mm-hmm. They'd have to, you know. But now, you know, we're regulated
right.
and everything through the tribe and also through the state, so which is okay.
Yep.
You know, they do a good job in monitoring the lakes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
But it just depends on the ice on the lake, too. You know, for a few years here, we weren't able to get any.
Right.
And hardly any because of the ice.
Yep. You mean just because the ice stayed long so
right,
late?
Right, by the time the ice left, and while they were done running. So.
Yep, they spawned all at once. And,
yeah.
Yep.
There again, when you go netting or something, you know, your first catch, you usually have a ceremony for it, you know. And again, you feed people and give thanks to the Creator for providing that walleye to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really respect everything, you know, that was given to us. We don't take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Even with our first deer meat, our first kill in the fall, you know, we have to have a ceremony for that and give thanks. Thanks to the Creator for providing that for us so we can feed our families. Kiyama, Mishigumana, Nungum, Kiyishkigum, Sigayad, Yonashanabig, Mimisha, and Gaze, Quindan, Ku, Gipawi, Jogwa, and Gil, and Gitazimog, Megwak, Gipashkigum, Sigayad. Go, Kimizi Bun, Gujagun, good luck. Good luck, Shanon, and Madonna, maybe. Kanabajogi Ogi Atunan, do a Nagwakwan, and Mishmagi Maji, Shkigam is a gay one. Gujago, Onabanagizis, Jugua Abita, Gujing, me piga, Yamaja Tawad, Meguaki Pai Jawad. And there's a Nikade, you know, new name done, there's Nikade, you see the backward news. You know, I guess he's a backward use it to add. Neighbor Kogi, we could get to now, I'm snow, then we're magging the one cougar. Got Pami now, Arden. Meneke, no other. The Davis, the two odd, the object, two odd. Your baby boat. I mean, that's. Ani good no kung yin noon dog kumin zeven kada hey I'm sure you got noon dog as one you makaki he's been noon dog as what me was born at too young. Hey go guy kid he noon dog no makaki go guys are born at two dash can I get go gi being at two you and I you nice to do good you mama me no as he won pim no got being at two hard me no I get up to two hard he get Manaja Chigade il Shanabezi Zabakwat Abu Shanabezi Zabakwat Manoino Ziga Eganan Mitigis Nika Degan and Nil Zins Bakwan was on Ziga Eganan. You know, Manaja too now and get a Shanabe and Shanamana do you give me to go in there the Abjango and the Nautic to me Jang the Wishkuban again. You get not stop Kinnegago Kege Nungum Jigwa, we pick it the Wawa Jigwa. No God, Humanajao and Butch, the same are Kawad, Butchoya, the Shungate, no, O God, Muskade, Benawad, the Gunungum Zigung, Migwitjawad, the Manadun, no, Gite, Benawad, no God. Can I go with the Tigago and the Snabe? Can I go? I mean, Daku don't gago. That's not going to do, can I go? Give me to go on. Oshkish show gigwag season backward, no gang you meanin, no meanin. You joke gig out of Bizaga Kig, me no meanin. We could say my kid on Shanabe to Bob Alma Wizard. No gig got Kashquama Wizard, got Peter, my ain't that big of Nag, your shungay deal. Gig a say my carding new meanin. Look at the way to go. Nebo das nungum au. Es gibe maris et gan, gwech ge go, ge kenda si, deje chige de o, as na gan oya. Ugi kaganuni go, ugi kaganuni go si oan. Ne o skima de tawad. Kina au, oya da se ma ke, se ma karang eo ga nuja tud. Me o kea ga shmini go zion. Gawin. Kinasunaja tu semen gay oge manaja tu men gay go abja tu men. He get to go. Niboga gay mina go with him and gay go. The bees young ma, don't dunja gang ma, king. Namazi being Namazaga agoning, kinagay go my amagad. Me the show abishki wait gay with kinagay go to go on the sunaja tu. Watching he going in the Sonaja on a water ski wed. You have to go. He's been a good cane and keg, he's been in the Sonaja, and a knot to go and make a boat in the Sonaja. On the Sonaja on the go, gay, and you can a bombashi, gay, and can and goody. We have to hard in the Bagasagoon. Me is a chicky odd. Me a bungi, Minik is a cane to wander.
That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our guest Larry and Mick Smallwood for sharing his stories with us. This is Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunanada. I'm your host, Eric Reddix. To listen again to past episodes of the program, visit the KUMD website at kumd.org. Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunanada is produced by KUMD and the Tribal Sovereignty Institute at the University of Minnesota Duluth, home of the Master of Tribal Administration and Governance, or MTAG, program, where students learn about leadership, law, sovereignty, and management from a tribal perspective. MTAG was designed by tribes for tribes. Currently accepting applications for fall enrollment. More information at umdmtag.org. Funding for Ojibwe Stories Gaganunanada is provided in part by the UMD College of Education and Human Service Professions and by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.